Welcome to My Therapist Is Out, an open space therapy collective podcast. We are your hub for queer and trans mental health care. Each episode, we talk with one of our open space therapists or LGBTQ community member about mental health and building community. I am your host, Renee Johnson, they, them, founder of Open Space Therapy Collective. I'm a licensed therapist and an art therapist. I specialize in working with queer artists who are exploring their gender identity and recovering from complex trauma.
As we dive into today's topic, please keep in mind that this is a mental health podcast. We will talk about sensitive and difficult issues that are not appropriate for all audiences. Please take care while listening.
On this week's episode, we have a swap cast with the Trauma Therapist podcast and host Guy McPherson. It was a really interesting conversation to have with him. He really specializes in talking with trauma therapists, the work of therapy and trauma and the healing process and different people's experiences. I'd highly recommend checking out his podcast. And the conversation that we had was really interesting. We get a little bit into how our culture can create and often does create an experience of trauma with people's identities, especially in the queer community. And I know this is the same for a lot of other marginalized groups. But he poses a question, is being queer in the world a traumatizing experience? And we get a little bit into whether or not we can answer that question and what that can and can't look like and does and doesn't look like. So join us. I do want to note that Guy misgenders me in the intro, which isn't entirely his fault. Our team at the time sent over a bio, and our team misgendered me in the writing of the bio. So I don't correct Guy in this podcast because I knew that it was our team's fault and not something that I needed to put on Guy. But just noting that, especially since in a couple episodes from now, Jenny Nigro and I get into what to do when being misgendered. So let me know what you think. Leave a comment, rate, review, all of the things, super helpful. And let's dive in with Guy.
All right, you ready, Renee?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here we go. So 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. All right, folks, welcome back to the podcast. I am very excited to have my guest today, Renee Johnson. Renee, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. So after years of running nonprofits and supporting the career growth of junior therapists, Renee is finally working in therapy practice and supporting the mental health and growth of queer, trans, artists, and others who have complex trauma. Renee is excited to have launched the Open Space Collective, and she looks forward to seeing it grow as a hub for her community. She's a licensed professional counselor, clinical counselor in California, board certified as an art therapist and a certified clinical trauma professional. She received her master's degree in art therapy from Pratt Institute in Brooklyn and is an additional somatic focusing training with the Focusing Institute. Awesome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
So let's start off here. Well, before we do, actually, share with the listeners where you're from originally and where you are currently.
Where I'm from originally. How far back would you like me to go?
Back, way back.
I grew up in a tiny little town in the middle of Iowa where there are more pigs than people, which was, you know, very quaint in the 80s and 90s before there was all this tech. And since then, I've lived in New York and California and Texas and Minnesota and Singapore. Wow. And kind of traveled all over. And I've landed in LA and came down here from San Francisco over the pandemic. And I've just really fallen in love with the city and really found that there's a lot of wonderful queer artists here, but really a lack of mental health support that's specifically for them. So we've really been opening up and branching out and trying to really build a community and a hub for that space, which was a big surprise to me. But there was such a lack.
Huh, interesting. And we'll get into that. But before we do, I lived in Los Angeles for about 4 years. and moved there from San Francisco and really liked it. I mean, there's a lot to the town that I think a lot of people don't know about simply because they're blinded by, you know, Hollywood and Beverly Hills, but there's so much there. Can you go into a little bit more about what attracted you to the city?
Being somebody who's not in the Hollywood industry, I get to kind of avoid all of the hustle and bustle and networking things. So as many of us are, we're not in the Hollywood industry, and people are very grounded here. There's a huge diversity of backgrounds. People are generally like really optimistic here and want to get to know people and want to collaborate and want to explore. And because of that, the city is just so vibrant, where there's always like 500 different types of things going on at any point.
Right.
And so it's kind of a continual treasure hunt and unfolding and getting to know more about different types of people and experience different types of things here that even living in New York, I didn't feel that same type of excitement and optimism. So that's been a wonderful thing about LA that's been just really enriching.
Very cool. All right. So let's start here. How the heck did you get into this field?
It was an accident. I had been working in hospitality for a long time and was totally burnt out, as most people do after a while, and was like, you know, I'm going to go back to grad school. I'm going to go for painting. I love painting. That makes sense. And got about a year in and went, oh no, I'm getting a lot of student loans and there's actually no career here because I don't want to be a teacher. And that's kind of the only thing to do. But I was at Pratt, which also has an art therapy program. And so randomly as an elective, I was like, oh, what's this personality development course? That sounds interesting. And within a few weeks of being in that course and with that professor, I was just like, oh, this is it. This is
really
clicked. And for me, and switched over.
What about it clicked?
You know, I grew up in a household where one of my parents was very, had a lot of mental illness. And it was something that kind of just happened all of a sudden when I was a kid. And so I grew up in the culture of mental health and mental illness and how to talk that language and that type of personality and how people develop and how it makes people tick. And both of my parents did a good job of talking about what was happening instead of trying to hide it. And so there was always this piece of me who was like, oh, I'm curious what this is. I want to know more about this. I like this. But therapy was always kind of shunned in my household at the same time. So it was this weird dynamic. But it was one of those things, all of my paintings were about people. The sculptures I was doing was about people. And so it was one of those moments where those two parts of me just kind of like clicked together, which was really exciting.
Very cool. So what happens? You take this course.
Yeah,
Pratt, I took the, which is really cool and interesting at the same time.
Yeah. And thankfully the professor that I was taking the class with, I was like, I think I want to switch over. This is great. And so she really helped me transition in. And I was, since this was a second career for me, they had a distance learning program. So you could kind of do these intense chunks at a time and still have a job so you can pay your bills. I worked with high schoolers for a while, and I worked with homeless population for a while through grad school, and really got a lot out of that and was really blessed to have some incredible mentors through that process. And then was over in New York. I couldn't do the snow anymore. I couldn't do the tiny apartments anymore. And so came out to San Francisco shortly after graduation.
Okay. And how do things unfold there? What are you thinking when you land in San Francisco in terms of working with the population? What are you thinking? Or are you even thinking about that at all?
Totally. Well, part of the draw to San Francisco was there's a huge artist population, and it's known as this very creative space. It's known as huge diversity in people. That it's a big queer community. And so I was really ready to kind of be be around more of my people, and that it was more relaxed and less competitive as New York. So the quality of life was better. And came in and started working in forensics and substance use and with the homeless population, and loved it. I worked for about 10 years there in different nonprofits and organizations, and the clients that we worked with were incredible. And I worked, I just by happenstance ended up working with a lot of seniors. So I got to know a lot of people who were big in the queer and trans liberation movements before my time, and mm-hmm. getting to know them in that process and what that experience was like and how they are later in life. And it was really meaningful to me. And I got to a point where I was running a few different programs and was really starting to be really disconnected from the clients and getting really burnt out. So I took a break.
So you weren't working as a therapist in this context?
I was working for as a therapist until about the last 2 years. I started doing more program direction.
Okay.
And really missed working with the clients. And so it was kind of time just to step away and get back to working with the clients, and the pandemic hit. And so making the transition to private practice and to Southern California really made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So you founded Open Space Collective
mm-hmm.
with the goal of what? I know I said it in your bio, but just expound on that a little bit more.
Yeah, there's, it's really important. And I know you know this too, as you're working through your trauma, as you're working through that deeper stuff, to have a therapist who gets you, who understands somewhat of some part of your experience. No two people have the same shared lived experience, but to have community and connection in that space. And one thing that I've found through my work, and I think San Francisco is a great example of this, is there's incredible queer community there. There's incredible support groups and healing networks, and in a way that I haven't seen in LA yet. Mm. And so part of that is, you know, offering queer and trans informed therapy for people who want to work through their trauma, who are going through that process, who can talk with therapists that understand what their process has been like in some level, but also be able to start making connections so people can build that community together outside of therapists. And so whether that's support groups or just community space where people can come together is our longer term goal, because that community piece and that those healing reparative experiences together really make a huge difference in trauma healing.
I guess I'm kind of surprised to hear that LA is lacking to some degree in that supportive area. Mm-hmm. What do you feel people who don't identify as queer, what do they need to understand or about delivering mental health care to queer people?
This is tough because a lot of how we know our reality is really like intrinsic and subconscious, and how we go about the world is really beyond like how we consciously think about doing it. And so when someone who is not queer or cis identifying moves through the world, there's not really questions. They're not questioning themselves. They're not getting questioned by other people. But somebody who is queer or trans has always had this kind of itch in the back of their head that something's not the same. And done a lot and had to do a lot of that deeper work to really discover and find themselves. And make those steps to say, no, the reality that's set up isn't the reality that fits with me. And I need to work to find myself and figure out how to fit into the world with other people. And it's a really different process because people have to, queer and trans people have to shift and move so they're feeling safe all of the time while feeling like they aren't betraying themselves and still feeling like they can understand and be.
Crazy making.
Yeah, it really can be.
I mean, we're not even talking. Well, I was going to say we're not even really talking about something traumatic happening, but then I'm thinking something about that can even feel traumatizing moving through the world. Like you're constantly questioning this. I mean, I can't imagine that. And now, of course, with the culture, political culture in which we're living, mm-hmm. it just seems like all these arrows and daggers are being thrown at people who are identifying as queer constantly, consistently.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think especially now with all of the laws being passed and just all of this vitriol being targeted at the community, it's making that even more and more difficult and more scary. And people are struggling to travel to go see family or what parts of the city they can and can't go to. And like, can I actually go down to even Orange County that is an hour or two away? And still be safe. And so there's, mm-hmm. and I think a question that is worth asking, and I don't have an answer to, is what you're saying is being queer and trans intrinsically entering into a traumatic experience because you have to navigate, because there's very little guaranteed safe spaces. And there's a lot about that life experience that can look like, how we work with clients who have very explicit trauma.
I don't identify as queer, and I can't imagine just even going through that process, living in a world where, and look, everyone's got issues going on, but just by the very nature of your existence, having to question, it's alone your existence, but even safety. So yeah, I think in answer to your question, I think it can be traumatizing mm-hmm. just to be going through that what I don't even know if you want to call it a process, but this being queer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is, you know, I would totally call it a process because it's a continual self-discovery. And as we age, that our identity changes and then our queer identity changes with that. And I think one of the beautiful things about the last 10 years is that there's been more non-binary, gender queer, gender fluid, trans, icons and people talking about it, and it's more in the conversation, and it's giving people language and mm-hmm. ways to be like, oh my god, that's me, like mm-hmm. this is the thing that's been the itch in the back of my head, this is why I haven't been fitting in. And so as we continue to grow as a society, there's also going to be new discoveries that we make together, and so it's not just like you come out and I am this one thing and I have to figure out how to move around the world as this one thing, but we're all complex, ever evolving people. And so it's a continual process at the same time.
So through Open Space Collective, your organization, what are you doing specifically? How are you bringing people? When people come to you, what are you doing? What kind of community are you trying to create?
So we opened just about a year ago. So we're brand new. Right now we have therapists of all sorts of different intersectionalities. Our therapists, dance movement therapists, people that are BIPOC and all specifically work with trauma and are either queer or queer-informed therapists. And so we're offering a lot of individual and couples and teens therapy now. And our goal is over the next year to grow more into providing more groups and support groups and grow into a bigger space where we have a community space to start pulling that together. So our work in this moment, now that we've kind of solidified the individual and relationship work, is to branch out and build more of that community and find ways to collaborate with other queer spaces and other queer people, and continue to really build that hub and that safe space.
So is it for queer people only?
No, okay. We're allies are wonderful. Like the community goes beyond just your identity. And so whether you're queer or you're an ally or you're a BIPOC person or you're a white person, as long as everybody's allied with each other and safe together and willing to grow together, it's all one big family.
Okay. For the listeners out there, what does it mean specifically to be queer informed, a queer informed therapist? What beyond the generalities, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. It's really a lot of education about what that life experience is, the way that people move through the world, the way that you find your identity, the way that your relationships are different, the way that going through medical or career or dating and how that life experience is different and what those experiences feel like. And so even if you're not a queer person, spending a lot of time taking in education from other providers or activists and really learning about that. Mm-hmm. Because when a trans person goes to the doctor, that is already going to be an experience that's fraught with contradictions. And being able to know that ahead of time and know what traps are there and being able to help the client navigate through that. Mm-hmm. And find a medical provider who is trans-informed or queer-informed, and not having your client educate you. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we'll hear is clients coming in and being like, yeah, they were a great therapist, but I had to teach them what it's like for me to go to the doctor instead. But what I really needed was them to already know and be able to give me the support through that really tough experience.
You mentioned relationships. How are they different?
Oh,
and with the understanding that
yeah,
people are different, you know, one relationship yeah. is not going to be the same, but for mm-hmm. the therapist out listening who isn't queer, mm-hmm. you're saying, you know, how relationships are different. Let us know, how are they different?
You know, one thing that's coming up a lot right now is the client's relationships with their parents. If they grew up in a religious household, if their pronouns are they, them, or they're using multiple pronouns, if you have a parent who's like, okay, yeah, I'm trying to work with it, but is really stuck in the, like, this grammar doesn't make sense to me. Well, you're not a boy or a girl. So like, what are you? You need to decide and let me know. And so it's navigating, how do I keep this relationship intact and be respected and seen and be authentic in this relationship dynamic with a parent? And it's really tough because there's big generational gaps in here, and the burden gets placed on the teen or the adult child to really be the parent in the relationship, and that dynamic turns really fast on a dime. Mm-hmm. Be like, okay, I need to hold space for this person so they can get to know me while not crossing my own boundaries as I'm being misgendered, or they're refusing to let me bring my same-sex partner to a family gathering. Like, how long do you hold that invitation for connection open? And when do you say, it's too much, this is hurting me too much, I need to start stepping away? Mm-hmm. And it can often not look like obvious abuse or obvious like emotional manipulation, because they're still being invited to the events. The parents are still saying, we love you, we want you around. but that refusal by the parent to honor who the child actually is a really tough relationship to figure out how to navigate.
How was yours, your own personally? How did you move through this process of coming out? What was that like for you?
It was tough. I am somebody who came out later in life. I grew up in a very religious household. And it was also a pretty traumatic household. And so I had kind of layers of things to peel back. And so I've kept my family pretty distant because the trauma and the relationship betrayals were big enough on their own that they weren't really a part of my coming out process. And so my brother, who I'm very close to, we've had a lot of conversations about that, and he identifies as a cis straight guy. I tease him all the time that he's just like, how did I end up with such a bro for a brother? But he's been a great example of like being able to say, I don't quite get it, but I'm open and I'm understanding. Please help me understand. And so it's been a very positive back and forth in that, where he's never said, I'm not going to refer to you as they, them. I'm not going to understand your pansexuality. I'm not going there. You need to come to me. And that's been a really beautiful process in that relationship that just wasn't available isn't available with my parents. And so it's been a tough experience. But the beautiful part about the queer community is having the chosen family that you get to adopt and each other and bring in to support through that.
So through Open Space Collective, you're trying to, or are in the process of creating a vibrant community and kind of creating a blossoming garden in the lack of Los Angeles. What are you hoping to provide there that isn't there, that maybe wasn't even there in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm. People keep calling it when I talk about it, because we're still in the creation process of this, they keep getting referred to as a hub. And so we're in the space of, we don't want to like dictate what happens. We want to, you know, as a lot of therapists that say, create the container. And so really having a space where different groups can come together, where people can just come and spend time, where the therapists and the staff that are there keep that safe, really space, and keep it, keep the safe, really safe. I'm fumbling my words. Safe, the space really safe. And to let the community help it evolve. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the exciting things about this is the project will continue to change and grow as the people who come and join us there change and grow. So it'll be a real, hopefully a big community project.
That's awesome. So like a living, creative, safe space. You are awesome. You're so inspiring. You have this beautiful presence about yourself. It's really awesome. So can you share with our listeners, let me ask you this. Do you offer any kind of training for therapists?
We are starting to put that together.
Okay.
We get that asked a lot. And so we're hoping by the fall, we'll start having some training for therapists. One of the things that we're trying to figure out is where to start, because there's a lot of content and a lot of questions. Right. If any listeners have any suggestions or questions, please send those through as we start building this out. And We may even just do some therapist town hall and just have an open question forum and see how that goes. Right. And so we're really in the process of putting that together.
Awesome. All right, Renee, how can people get you, get into contact with you?
Yeah, you can find us on all the social medias at Open Space Therapy. And we have we also have a podcast called My Therapist Is Out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which comes out every other week on Wednesdays. And you can always email us at info@openspacetherapycollective.com.
I'm going to link all that up here at the show notes page at thetraumatherapistpodcast.com. Awesome, Renee. Love to have you back. Really appreciate you taking the time to be here. Join me today.
Great. Thank you so much, Guy. This was really sweet.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you're in California and looking for a therapist, visit our website at openspacetherapycollective.com and book a free intro call with one of our therapists. If you're enjoying My Therapist Is Out, please rate, review, and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. My Therapist Is Out is an Open Space Therapy Collective podcast. Our therapists are Renee Johnson, Kristen Crow, Debbie White, Jenny Nigro, and Tara Friedman. Our podcast editing is done by Smash and Grab Studio. We'd love to hear from you about today's topic, so you can email us at info@openspacetherapycollective.com. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram at My Therapist Is Out and Open Space Therapy Collective. Thanks for listening.